Well, good morning, everybody. This is about take three. So some days are good days and some days are bad days. But hey, look, welcome along if you are joining us for the first time. It's great to see you. And can you believe it's July? It is new financial year. So there you go. Not sure what I think about that. But our anchor series reminds us that we're being held firm in the love of God. And again, we're building those faith links to our life and our boat that is being tossed by the storms. So today is communion. And for those who are joining us for the first time, look, it's your chance. We just simply do this at home, some bread and some wine or whatever, grape juice, whatever you use. So we'll have a chance to do that a bit later in the service. But okay, so recognizing we take ourselves with us wherever we go, how are you doing today? How would you score your life today? Is it 10 out of 10, like marvelous and magnificent? Or is it 1 out of 10, dastardly and dirty and disgusting? I don't know. Out of 1 to 10, where would you put your number? And more importantly, why? So action reflection. Why have you given it a 2 and not an 8? Why have you given it an 8 and not a 4? What is it about this week that you bring to this worship experience? Let me share a prayer. Let's pray. Lord, once again, we set aside our time in our lives to offer you our gratitude. Gratitude for those that have shaped our lives, that have been a connection, that have sustained us during this hard time, or maybe people we've been sustained and sustaining for. And while we worship from a distance through prayer or reflection and communion, we know that we meet you once again. Your spirit is ever present with us, touching, sustaining, enabling us. God of mercy, God of grace, we open ourselves to your love once again. Fill us with your life-giving peace. Lord, we look forward to sharing communion today. And as we taste your love through bread and wine, through these earthly elements, we continue to remember your sacrificial love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to listen to the band as they sing, "What a Faithful God Have I."
Faithful God have I, faithful in every way.
Our scripture reading today comes from Hebrews 6, 19 to 20. Now, it's two translations, New RSV and The Message. The idea is I'm trying to get you to reflect on the scripture from different angles. So let's listen to this word. We have this hope, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters the inner shrine behind the curtain, where Jesus, a forerunner on our behalf, has entered, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So that was the New RSV. Now this is from The Message. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, has taken up his permanent post as high priest for us in the order of Melchizedek. These are the words of God for the people of God. Amen. Now it's time to have our Zoom chat with the kids. Now, obviously, trying to translate this reading into something relevant for the kids, I came at a different angle. So our heart, God's heart to heart with us, God's forgiveness. So I asked by asking, is love a feeling? Is love a choice? What is love? Simple question.
Go.
It's a choice, isn't it? You can choose to be grumpy or not, or you can choose to be happy. And it's a choice about hurting someone or not, or having a good attitude and taking control.
Yes.
Well said.
And that's not easy. Sometimes that's something we have to think about, isn't it? So maybe that's what God means when we love people with our head or our mind and our heart. So our heart is all about emotions and feelings, and our mind is making a choice, even sometimes when we've got our cranky pants on.
Well, I tell you, great answer. If love is a choice, how do you show love? It's a question I ask.
Even if we're cross or grumpy and we make a mistake, God still loves us.
Yes. And that's part of what that Anchor series is all about. It's reminding us that we are loved, we are special, we are cared for regardless what happens. Even if Esther doesn't share the pomegranate seeds with everybody else, she's still loved, isn't she?
I'm sharing with
Esther. Oh, you're sharing with Esther. Lovely.
So further to add this a bit further and stretch it, I ask, well, so if love is about sharing, what is the hardest thing you have to share?
What's the hardest thing you have to share? Joe. Oh, Malachi. Yes.
We have a container of sometimes we have to share it. I normally share my money with Esther and Malachi. I bought the family something. Two things, and I bought Esther because she couldn't have the thing that I bought family, so I'm going to take for her.
Oh, lovely. So that's showing your love. Yeah, Jaden, what's the hardest thing you share?
Video games.
Video games. What about you, Gabby? What's the hardest thing you share? Your dollies?
So some really wonderful responses. And to be honest, you know, many adults get caught up with what love is, and they forget that love is a choice, and it's all about feeling. We'll talk a little bit more about that in our reflections. Let me pause and talk about some notices. Now, I've put an extra insert into the grape. Sorry about that. Just a lot of notices. But let me start with the first one is Bill Skirry. Has been a leader at the Vines Church for 2 decades. How is that possible, you say? He doesn't look that old, but he's done a wonderful job, and he's stepping down, and he wants to follow some of the other passions in his life, like worship leading, Bible study, and his family. So commend you for that, Bill. Thanks very much, and I look forward to continue to work with you. Second thing is, really need to address the elephant in the room. I don't know about you, I've got one, and you've got one. Question is, who's looking forward to go back to church? Yes, When are we going back? Everybody's asking. Some churches have gone back, and some, like The Journey, are going back at the end of this month. Some, like The Seeds, will go back in the first week in August. The ladies' meeting will get together, and we'll try and just nail some of that for us. I mean, part of our priority of effort has been getting the COVID-19 safe plan up in place. And that's taken hours, 100 hours work. And so we've had a little committee working their butts off with the leaders' committee just to try and get this right. So if you go into the church building, there's forms about how many people can go into this room and how many can go in that. You have to sign yourself in. You have to use hygiene, safe spacing. Oh, I used my hand. I should have used my elbow. There you go. All these things we still have to do, people. So it's just a massive amount of work. So we are looking to meet again and trying to figure out when we can gather at church. Now, as regards to meeting at home, then look, there's really, again, been changes this Monday. So you can meet in your homes as a small group as long as you adhere to current COVID restrictions, social distancing, hygiene, and how they work it in a restaurant. So if you're a small group, get into it, get back, enjoy each other's company. If you're a leader and you want to utilize the church as a small group, you need to do an induction training. So again, there'll be stuff in the grape you can read. Finally, let me say, be patient, people. The leaders team is working on your behalf to keep you safe. Now, we have been working very hard during this time to make sure we get everything right, so we avoid a $5,000 fine, but most of all, so that we keep you safe. This is what this is all about. So stay tuned, more to follow. We're going to pause now for a prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our lives, and we thank you for the way in which you are present with us. As we reflect on this theme of heart to heart, just we ask for your spirit to stir us, to give us a new insight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, when was the last time you had a heart to heart with someone? You know, a heart to heart that required a box of tissues, maybe, you know, or if you're a man, lots of use of your sleeve, you know. Bit of a joke there, fellas. Maybe it started off very tense, and as the conversation emerged and some truthful, careful language was used and some heartfelt needs were expressed, there was a deeper connection. There was some truth that maybe surprised you, or maybe you were able to share with the other person. Maybe it was a bit of a slap. We were talking about slaps last week. Maybe the conversation was a little bit of a slap for you, and you suddenly realized, oh, okay, I never realized. Maybe it was a family member, maybe it was a woman-to-woman, or a man-to-man conversation, or child-daughter, you know, parent-child, I don't know, whatever. I guess there's lots of things that happen, and the idea with heart-to-heart conversations is you pick up a tricky situation and you talk about it rather than ignore it. And I guess in Western society, when we talk about the heart, we're talking about that emotional center of our being, aren't we? The emotional reservoir. I mean, we don't often say to people, I love you with my mind. We talk about loving each other with our hearts, that emotional stuff. So heart to heart is really an honest, significant, careful thing. However, we know that sometimes it's very hard to have a heart to heart conversation if only one person's interested in the conversation. Otherwise, it tends to be a sort of a berration, or the other person starts digging a big trench, and maybe it's like a trench that would be akin to the Somme World War One battlefield, where it just goes on forever at all these depths. So it can be an absolute mess, and I appreciate sometimes in conversations our desire to have a heart to heart may not be reciprocated. So it's about timing, isn't it? It's about careful language. It's about knowing how to broach stuff. Our experience of Scripture today picks up some of this heart to heart. Now, I'm going to go through a bit of a journey to get there, so I pray you stay with me. So the reading today has lots of different images which are from the Jewish religious temple worship. So for us today, 2,000 years later, we probably struggle a little bit to understand it. So from Hebrews 6:19, we have this hope, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters the inner shrine behind the curtain. Now, what that's referring to is the temple, the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was put. And once a year, the priest, the high priest, could go behind that curtain and sprinkle blood and things to forgive their sins. It would clean the priests and the high priest so that then they could help bring forgiveness to the people. And so this once a year experience, this Holy of Holies, what is referred to here. And where Jesus, a forerunner on our behalf, has entered, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, quick brief, Melchizedek is a character who emerges in Genesis chapter 14. If you want to know some more, check that out. Suffice to say, the author of Hebrews sees this priest-king as the forerunner of Jesus. And the writer of Hebrews then says that, well, actually, Jesus becomes for us this continual presence inside the Holy of Holies. Jesus becomes the priest that replaces everything. And through Jesus, we have a connection with God forever on a daily event. And it really becomes quite significant. And the Hebrew again, chapter 10, every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. So, we're talking about this unbreakable link between God and us through Jesus. It is a link that is connected in through the Holy Spirit. It is an unbreakable spiritual line. And that picks up our response and focus for the Anchor series, doesn't it? It's a faith anchor that links us, the anchor of God's love, to the ship of our lives, and this unbreakable line, which is really a wonderful image. And it really picks up this idea that in the Message version, it talks about the unbreakable chain reaching past all appearances. Again, it's like part of our journey of faith is like this heart-to-heart experience where we're discovering stuff about ourselves in relationship. You know, sometimes it's, there's that old saying, fake it till you make it. But the truth about faking it till you're making it is that actually we know it's not true. We can try and pump ourselves up and talk about how fit we are when we don't go to the gym, how well we eat when we don't eat well, all these things. But in the end, the truth is, we know when we're not getting things sorted. And it's a bit like love. We can say we love someone, but if we do nothing about it, then we're really kidding ourselves, because love is a verb. Love's not a feeling. The feeling of love emerges as we do the verb love, as we do stuff, as we self-sacrifice, as we care, as we go out of our way to care, as we be the change we want to see in others. That's when we get the feeling. We have to do all the other stuff first. Love is a verb. And as I think about God's choice of us, it's God's verb of us that is seen through Jesus. We want to know God loves us. God's verb is Jesus. Did God do anything? Yeah. God's love is seen through the eyes of the cross. And God talks about how the desire, even in the Old Testament, was to put his laws on our minds and in our hearts. And there's a reference again in Hebrews 10 about forgiveness and remembering sin, our sins no more. So the writer of Hebrews is really saying, hey, look, worship because of Jesus has changed. Just like for us, worship because of COVID-19 has changed. The difference being that what God offers us through Jesus is this forgiveness, an unbreakable love, an unbreakable chain to us. And where I got this idea of heart to heart emerged from that hymn, the verse, second verse I used last week, where it said, "It is safely moored to the storm to withstand, for it's well secured by the Saviour's hand, and the cable passed from his heart to mine can defy that blast through strength divine. The unbreakable chain from Jesus' heart to mine that connects us with love, that helps us defy the stormy blasts." Now, you know, my Dave's dodgy drawings behind us, there's a little Jesus figurine I've got there with a little figurine of us. And again, it reminds us of that link that we're building, heart to heart, that anchors us. And it reminds me that, you know, nothing separates us from God's love. And it's a bit like the footsteps poem, you know, the one where, you know, the person at the end of their life looks back over their life and says, "Look, you know, there's two sets of footprints and now there's only one, and that was the time I struggled most. Where were you, Jesus?" Now, that poem is actually a bit of a heart to heart. I mean, it's pretty courageous to actually talk to the Messiah, Lord of the universe, and say, "Hey, where were you when I was struggling, Jesus? I thought you loved me. But here, I'm isolated and left alone." The thing about heart-to-heart conversations is they're two ways. So Jesus looks at this person and says, "Well, actually, you know, this time when you're complaining, you were alone and left by yourself. You know, the time when you didn't pray to me and you rejected me and you were angry at me and you didn't go to church and you didn't go to, you know, whatever. You know, that was when I was actually carrying you." Heart-to-heart conversations, you know, slap. "Oh, sorry. So I could have actually, during my hard time, reached out to you with my unbreakable chain of love from your heart to mine and prayed and cried and opened up my life rather than being angry and rejecting." And this basically is where we're going to lead into for communion. You see, I don't know about you, but is there a time when you've had a heart-to-heart with God? Or maybe, do you need a heart-to-heart with God? Because one of the truths is that God's love for us never changes. And if we forget that there's this link, this God's choice of us, this verb of love to us that never changes, then we miss that strength when we need it most, when we feel we're abandoned and lost. Going to ask you to pause as we consider and reflect on what I've just said. What is the one thing you're taking away today? Let's just pause. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would continue to stir us in an understanding of your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to listen to the song, "Holy Spirit Come." Open your life and your eyes and your heart.
Holy Spirit.
Welcome back, everybody, for communion. I hope you've had the chance to organize your elements. When Jesus was preparing the Last Supper, he had a physical preparation and a spiritual preparation. The physical preparation was sending his disciples out into Jerusalem to get the room, to get the donkey, to prepare everything. And like Jesus and the disciples, we too have had to prepare. Maybe there's some traditions you've discovered or used in your preparation of communion. The other part of preparation is our spiritual preparation. And today the theme has been heart to heart. And it's a beautiful image, actually. And I like the idea of the Footsteps poem really being a heart to heart conversation. I haven't really seen it like that before. But really, when we pray and open ourselves up to God, we're wanting to be honest. And that allows God to be honest back. And it's really a significant part, because faith is about forgiveness and new life. It's not about being bound in the past. We continue to open ourselves to grow and strive and live our lives. So, peace be with you, and let me share the words of institution. Now, the words of institution come from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 to 26. Again, you can find that in your own Bible or listen to me. Paul said, "For I received from the Lord what I've delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this for the remembrance of me.' In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it for the remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So Paul was saying, through this simple meal, this bread, this wine, we are reconnecting. We're having a heart-to-heart. In fact, we're almost having a face-to-face. And as I was preparing this communion, one of the things that leapt into my mind was an old song, a song which talked about the candles are lit and the table is laid. And it talks about this face-to-face encounter we have with Jesus through communion. The words I like particularly, we will sing, or I should say David will sing and we will listen to. But let me, as we lead into that time, let me just share the words of faith. "When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide and welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, loved, and set free. You are worth all our pain, all our praise. Thank you, Jesus. Amen." So this is the body of Christ broken for us. We do this in remembrance of him. And this is the blood of Christ, which is shed for us. We drink in remembrance of him. So what I invite you to do is to listen to the song David's going to sing. And at the end of that song, we'll pause and we'll break and we'll share the bread together.
Here we meet you once again, God of mercy, God of grace. Taste your love in bread and wine. We meet you face to face. Words that are spoken are simple but true. This is my body and blood. Here is forgiveness for all of your sins. Here is the promise of God. Here we meet you once again, God of mercy, God of grace. Taste your love in bread and wine. We meet you face to face. No need to be anxious or troubled with fear. Jesus turns no one away. If you need healing or comfort or strength, come to his table today. Here we meet you once again, God of mercy, God of grace. Taste your love in bread and wine. We meet you face to face. Here we meet you once again, God of mercy, God of grace. Taste your love in bread and wine. We meet you face to face. We meet you face to face. We meet you face to face.
Beautiful words. Let us eat and remember, and let us drink and remember. Again, in your own time, please go on. Lord, we offer our lives to you again. You've put your life into our hands. Now we put our lives into yours. Take us, shape us, remake us. No longer is it important what we have been, but who we can be through with you, that is. Amen. So again, that concludes our time together. Again, you know, I might want to pause and spend some time thinking about some of the rich symbols and imagery we've shared today. And communion is one of those things that I think stirs me in lots of different ways. But a reminder that we have a Zoom morning tea, and the Kernos have sold their house and they're leaving the building. Well, actually the state, they're going to go up to Queensland. And they're in a couple of weeks' time to be with their daughter. So if you have the chance to Zoom in, well and good. If not, give them a ring sometime in the next couple of weeks. And because don't forget, our motto is phone a friend and choose life. Because you can't get the virus over the phone, but you can pass on God's love. And hopefully we can serve God in that way, in whatever way that looks. But, you know, great to see you here today. And I look forward to catching up with you live real soon. Amen.